Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we also know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work.
The history of white settlement in Australia began when Captain James Cook, the Yorkshireman, sailed into Botany Bay on the east coast of Australia in August 1770 and claimed Australia as a colony of Great Britain. He arrived 1 week before the French explorer La Perouse. Seventeen years later, the first fleet arrived, 11 ships, convicts, captained by Arthur Phillip, sailed into Botany Bay on the 25th of January 1788 and then into Port Jackson, Sydney Harbour on the 26th of January 1788. A penal colony was established. Last year, that penal colony came second only to Switzerland as the place in which a person is considered most fortunate to be born into. It is the second most desirable nation on earth to be born into and to live in. That penal colony is the second only to Switzerland in terms of life expectancy. Only the Swiss live longer than do Australians. But in one area, we actually beat the Swiss. We are the wealthiest nation on earth. Per head of population, $219,505 for every man, woman and child in Australia. We are a wealthy nation. And yet, there is a multiplicity in our country of institutions which have been raised up to help people with depression. We have one of the highest prescription rates for antidepressants in the Western world. We have one of the highest rates of death by self-harm, especially amongst men. There is at the heart of our nation an aching void. Something is missing. People say, what's it like being over here in England? I said, well, it's very much like being in Australia. The cultures are very similar. We speak the same language, sort of. We play the same sport. We eat the same food. We watch the same television. We have the same sense of humour. If someone really likes you in Australia or over here, they're rude to you to show that they're really affectionate about you. We understand one another. And I think that what I can say about our nation, I can say about your nation, that at the heart there is a void. And if I was to bring one verse of scripture to this nation and to my own nation, it would be that one on page 44 of your New Testament, where the Lord Jesus makes this exorbitant claim. Verse 6 of John 14, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It is an audacious claim. when God tells us his name in the Old Testament and Moses says, "What is your name?" God responds that his name is the Hebrew word for the verb to be. I was, I am, I will be. I am. And Jesus here makes this claim to be God. He says, I am. Seven times in this gospel, he says, I am. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life. And did you notice that in this gospel, every time he says that, he backs it up. He authenticates that claim. I am the light of the world. He heals the blind man. I am the resurrection and the life. He raises Lazarus. I am the bread of life. He feeds 5,000 people miraculously. Verse 6 here says, Jesus answered, I am the way and I am the truth and I am the life. He has already told us in the first few verses here that he is going ahead to his Father's house to prepare rooms for us. The image is very much the Jewish marital rites. In Judaism, a groom and a bride are engaged. That is an arrangement between the family. Then they enter into a more formal agreement, betrothal. In order to break the betrothal, that involves a divorce, so it is a formal thing. And between betrothal and when the couple move in and live with one another, the groom actually goes to his father's house, and in his father's house, he prepares rooms where he and his bride will come and they will be a married couple together. And Jesus is saying here in these first few verses, in my Father's house are many rooms. I'm betrothed to you. I'm going away and I'm going to come back and take you to be where I am, to the place I've prepared for you. We're going to be married, bride and groom. We're going to be in that intimate relationship, he says to his people. And if you look at verse 5, it is Thomas the skeptic who says to Jesus, prove it. He is the gloomy loner. He asks the obvious question. You know, Jesus says, verse 4, where I am going. Thomas says, how can we know? We don't even know the way to where you're going because we do not know the destination. If we don't know the destination, then we don't know the way. And so how can you say you know the way to where I am going? We don't know where you're going. And Jesus responds in verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus is the exclusive way because Jesus is the exclusive truth about God, and Jesus is the model and source of life. And he adds this, notice what he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. This is an exclusive way. It's exclusive and a little arrogant, don't you think? Unless, of course, it is true. It is interesting that when we get into the book of Acts, Paul, who's persecuting Christians, says that he is coming to persecute followers of the way, not a way. Christians are said in the book of Acts to be followers of the definite one way. And Peter, of course, in the book of Acts stands up in the Jewish council and says there is only one name, one person by whom we can be saved. And that is the Lord Jesus. The New Testament makes exclusive claims for the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way to God. You say, well, that's not so new. The Quran makes exclusive claims to be the revelation of Allah. The Hindus have their Vedas, and that is the law of caste and karma. The Buddhists are very arrogant in the way they reject that claim. The atheists are militant. They seem to be arrogant and intolerant. Christianity is not alone, therefore, in making exclusive claims. But it is hard to think of a Christianized country today where your life is in peril for not being a Christian. The Christian will respect and seek to persuade, and yet without threat. Here is an exclusive claim, verse 6. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. But notice it's a most generous offer, because anybody who comes to Jesus will come to the Father. You don't have to be good enough. You don't have to earn your way there. You simply come via the Lord Jesus. Jesus says he is the only way. If he was one amongst many ways, then God would have been cruel to send Jesus to be just another way, to suffer and die and just be another way. But God is not cruel. He sends his own son. He is in Christ, in necessity, sending Jesus to do what no one else could do. We used to teach our children a chorus, without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no growing. That's to children. But Thomas A. Kempis put it like this: He is the sacred way. He is the infallible truth. He is the never-ending life. And yet we are surrounded by pessimism. There was pessimism in the world to which Jesus came. There was a stone engraved from the first century and it says, I was not, I became, I am not, and I care not. That's the sort of pessimism we have, and into that world and into our world, Jesus comes and he says, I am the way to friendship with God. I am the truth. All you need to know about God is in me, and I am the life. All that life, God intended life to be, is personified in the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the way because Jesus is the truth about God. Now keep your finger there and come back with me, if you would, to page 7 of the New Testament of the Gospel of John. And here, John in his introduction tells us about how Jesus is the truth about God. You'll see he speaks here and says, he introduces us in John 1:1, he speaks about Jesus as the Word. Now, do you know what I'm thinking? Listen. Anybody know what I'm thinking? No one. I've got to speak. My words reveal. And Jesus is the revelation of God, whereby we know what God is like and we know what God is thinking, because God speaks through Jesus, the Word. Look at verse 14. It's a key verse. The Word, the revelation of God, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So if you'd been here in the first century, you could have seen the Word of God, Jesus, in the flesh. You could have pointed to him. You could have listened to him. You could have seen him, touched him, felt him, all of that. The Word became flesh. Look at verse 18, because verse 18 really is the most excellent summary of the whole of John's Gospel. No one has ever seen God. But here is God's answer to the dilemma. God, the one and only, that is the one who has a unique nature, the one and only Son, who himself is God and is in the closest relationship with God, literally, John says, is in the bosom of God, has made him known. This Jesus has a unique nature. This Jesus is in a unique place. And this Jesus has a unique ministry to make God known. On Thursday, I came here for the midday or the 1 o'clock service. As I came rather early for the service, I noticed that half the staff of St. Helens were leaving the office and going that way towards Lloyd's. I thought, well, maybe there's a fire in the building or something. They said, no, quick, David, come, come. Her Majesty the Queen is coming to Lloyd's. So we went and we queued up and they pushed us back on the other side of the road, and it was very exciting. And here came the car, and Her Majesty got out of the car with the Duke of Edinburgh, and they went up the stairs. And I noticed she's rather short, she had a large hat, she had a top coat on. You couldn't see anything of Her Majesty apart from the top coat and the top hat. I can't say to my grandchildren, I saw the Queen. Well, I saw the back of the Queen and I saw the Queen's hat, but I didn't actually see the Queen. No one, look at that verse, no one has looked into the face of God. But God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side, leaves us in no doubt. When you look at the Lord Jesus, you are looking at the action replay of God, God in slow motion. He leaves you in no doubt. This is what God is like. This is what God thinks. This is what God says. Now flip back over, if you would, to page 44 and see what happens immediately after this saying when Philip comes to Jesus in verse 8. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been with you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. To look at me, Philip, is to see the Father. I'm the one who is at the Father's side. I'm the one who has the same nature as God. I am the one who makes the Father known. No one can know God. You cannot know God apart from Jesus. By going to a cathedral, you can't know God. By going to a temple, you can't know God. By reading tarot cards, you can't know God. By reading tea leaves in the bottom of your teacup, you cannot know God. God makes himself known in Jesus. He is the truth about God, and he is the life, the embodiment of life, as God meant it to be lived. You need, therefore, to come to Jesus. Don't go to a church as an institution. Don't go to the Quran. Don't go to the Vedas. Don't go to the creeds. Don't go there. It is come to Jesus. It is a big claim. Why believe the claim? Well, look back at your verses. Let's go on to verse 10. Jesus says to Philip, don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. You can believe me, Philip, because I'm telling you words that are true. I'm not some lunatic. The words that I give you are words that come from the Father. You can believe me because I'm saying words that are true. No one comes to the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But look at verse 11, because he goes one step further. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the corroborating works themselves. So, Philip, you've been with me. Believe me when I say I am, but believe also because you've seen that man blind from birth come to see. You knew that Lazarus was dead 4 days and he came to life. You knew that paralyzed man had not walked in 38 years, but I told him to get up and he walked. What medical science cannot do today, Jesus did then. Believe me when I say I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And if you don't believe the words which come from the Father themselves, believe on the basis of the evidence, the works you've seen. Now, friends, there it is. Do you believe? I ask you this afternoon three questions. Question number one, do you believe that Jesus has prepared a place for you in his Father's house? And are you trusting him to take you there? Are you eternally secure? I don't know how many of you are watching Silk, 9 o'clock, BBC One. We're addicted to Silk. It was a great show. Last night we had to miss it. But I read this about it, that bloke Mickey. Mickey is dying. And he says to a friend, there's only three things that matter at these days of my life. The manner of my going, what I leave behind, and where I am going afterwards. Where am I going afterwards? I've been here a brief time. Am I eternally secure when you leave here for eternity? Question one, do you believe that Jesus has reserved a place for you? Question two, do you believe that Jesus is the action replay of God, or are you looking elsewhere? And where else? There's no account like this that has such great manuscript evidence to back up its veracity. Where else are you looking? And question three, do you recognise that Jesus has lived the model way, the model life, and not even his enemies had anything on him? The worst they could say about him is that he eats with the wrong types of people. And for you to live any other way is dehumanising and disrespectful to you. Jesus answered, I am the way. I am the truth about God. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. In 1963, my father placed my name on the waiting list to become a member of the Sydney Cricket Ground. In 1981, I became a member of the Sydney Cricket Ground. The members' gates at the Sydney Cricket Ground open at 7 a.m. for play to start at 10:30. When we're playing India, South Africa, Pakistan or Sri Lanka, you've got to be there at about 6:45 for the gates to open at 7 to get a good seat. When we're playing the English, you've got to be there about 5:30, even earlier, because we love to beat the English, eh? There's nothing like Ashes cricket. So this is what I do. 5 o'clock I get up. 5:30 I join the queue at the members' gate. 7 o'clock the members' gate opens and I race. It's on the Paddington Hill at the ground. It's called the Paddington Gift. And the members race for a seat. I get my seat and I reserve the seat next to me for my friend. I've got up at 5, queued at 5:30, raced at 7, and here I am at 5:07. I've got my seat and the seat for my friend. My friend rolls out of bed at about 9:30. He comes to the ground about 10:15 and he lolls up and sits in the seat that's prepared for him for the opening of play at 10:30. I hope he appreciates my generosity. I've got up at 5, queued at 5:30, raced at 7. I've paid the annual membership fee as well. And he's there, indebted to my generosity. Now, I tell you, friends, that every faith system you can name says this to you. If you want to get a seat, well, you join the queue and you do your best to race. And you can never be sure that there is going to be a reserved seat for you. But if there is, good on you. Biblical Christianity alone says, Jesus says, I've done it. I've reserved a place for you. You can be sure that you are eternally secure, and your sitting in that seat does not reflect well on you. It reflects well on him. And all glory to him. Christianity is all about God, and it's all about what God has done. And verse 1 here at the top of page 44 tells you Jesus doesn't want you to be anxious and troubled. He doesn't want you to feverishly be joining the race in the hope that maybe. He says, I've reserved a seat for you. You trust in me. You put your trust in me, and I'll introduce you to the Father. The French philosopher and mathematician Blaise Pascal said, inside every one of us there's a God-shaped space. Try as you might to fill it with pleasure, money, ambition, education, or whatever, you cannot fill it without him. At the very heart of your life, at the very heart of our nation, is an aching void. There is only one way. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come to me. When John G. Payton, the Scottish missionary, goes to Vanuatu, he translates the Gospel of John, as the first thing he does as a missionary, into the language of the New Hebridean, Vanuatuan. He comes on this word believe, and he cannot get the equivalent in the language for the word believe. One day he's out with his language helper. They are going through a jungle. They come back to base camp exhausted, and his friend collapses into his hammock. Payton says to him, what have you just done, collapsing into your hammock? And the man gives him the rather awkward Ni Hebridean, Ni Vanuatuan expression, to collapse your weight into the hammock. That's what it means to believe. And Payton used that word to translate the word believe every time it was in John's Gospel. It means that you have a conviction about Jesus, and it means that you rest the weight of your life on him. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. No one comes to the Father but by him, but we come to the Father but by him. How generous is that? Will you lay your weight down on the Lord Jesus? That is the challenge that John leaves with us today. Don't go here anxious and troubled. Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Believe me when I say, or believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Well, let's pray. Thank you, our Father God, that in the midst of this busy week and all the busyness of all the work that we are doing, that we can just touch base with reality, that we can hear again your sure word to us, the way, the truth, the life. We pray, our Father, that there would be those today who came in here maybe anxious and troubled about their eternal future, who've heard this message and come to place faith and trust in Jesus. For those of us who've walked with you for many years, we thank you again for our eternal security, that there is a place reserved, not which reflects well on us, but reflects gloriously on what Jesus has done for us. We thank you that our Saviour and Lord is the way, the truth, and the life. And we thank you that with confidence and assurance we can come to you through him. And we pray this prayer with thanksgiving, trusting only in his merits. Amen.